This episode of the Fresh Start Family Show is brought to you by our Quick Start Learning Bundle, how to build a compassionate, firm, and kind discipline toolkit that works with kids of all ages. Head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/discipline to grab your Quick Start Bundle so you can get going today on building up a strong, compassionate, discipline toolkit in your home.
Well, hey there, I'm Stella. Welcome to my mom and dad's podcast, The Fresh Start Family Show. We're so happy you're here. We're inspired by the ocean, Jesus, and rock and roll, and believe deeply in the true power of love and kindness. Together, we hope to inspire you to expand your heart, learn new tools, and strengthen your family. Enjoy the show!
Well, hey there, families. Welcome to episode 45 of the Fresh Start Family Show. I am so excited for you guys to listen to this episode with Scarlett Lewis from the Choose Love Movement. Families, I'm telling you, you are in for a treat. Scarlett is one of the most inspirational humans I have ever had the honor of spending time with. When Terry and I pushed end on this recording, we literally just looked at each other and were speechless. All we could do was just hug each other and reflect over the next, few hours about what an incredible conversation this was that we got to have with Scarlett. So just a little bit more about Scarlett's story. So Scarlett is the mama of a little boy named Jesse Lewis, who was in the first grade and lost his life in the Sandy Hook mass school shooting. And can you even imagine a greater loss or tragedy to have to cope with and heal from as a mother, right? I remember when that school shooting happened, every single school shooting we have here in America rips my heart out, but that one especially, right? I mean, so many children lost their lives that day, and it just ripped all of our hearts apart, right? And so to be able to hear what happened that day when Scarlett came home, the notes that Jesse left her and his brother, and just to hear what Scarlett chose to do as far as creating a legacy out of Jesse's life and continuing this voice and this message that he left behind is just so inspirational. It really will bring you to tears. So enjoy this lesson, families. Go check out Scarlett's work, be part of her movement, and we've included all of the information over on the show notes page, so you can find all the links over on freshstartfamilyonline.com/45. Okay, guys, enjoy. Well, hey there, families, and welcome to our episode today. We are so excited to have you guys joining us for a very special interview with Scarlett Lewis from the Choose Love Movement, from the Jesse Lewis Choose Love Movement. Welcome, Scarlett. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Oh, thank you, Wendy and Terry. It's great being here.
Yay! So, listeners, this is a very, very, very special conversation. We are going to talk to Scarlett today about her nonprofit organization and their core concepts that they teach through it, which they call the Choose Love Formula. And so let me tell you a little bit more about Scarlett and why she founded the Jesse Lewis Choose Love Movement. So Scarlett is one of the most courageous, bravest souls I think I've ever had the honor of now knowing. Thank God that we get to interview you and hopefully call you a friend after this, Scarlett. But she founded the Jesse Lewis Choose Love Movement after her son, Jesse, was murdered during the Sandy Hook Elementary School tragedy in December 2012. So Scarlett has decided to be part of the solution to issues in society, and that also caused the tragedy. She travels across the United States and internationally to promote the Choose Love Enrichment Program at a no-cost, comprehensive character development and social and emotional learning program, empowering educators and students to choose love. And now the family of Choose Love programs for educators, for parents, and for community leaders has been downloaded in all 50 states. Yes.
Yes.
And in nearly 90 countries.
100 countries.
Oh, ooh, my gosh. Let's cross that out. 100 countries. Right. Oh, my gosh. That's amazing. And so, So specifically, Scarlett's going to talk to us about learning and understanding the Choose Love formula, which includes courage, gratitude, forgiveness, and compassion in action.
And I'm going to pass the microphone over here to you in a second here, Scarlett, so you can really introduce yourself and just tell us more about your story and all of it. But I do want to start off by just telling you, honestly, like, what an honor it is to be here with you today. I was, you know, just going through your work and preparing for this interview, and this wave of emotion came over me, right? And I realized, like, last night, we had this hilarious thing happen last night where I set the smoke alarm off last night because I was cooking portobello mushrooms. And Terry always gets up there and gets it down, and he shuts it off and he put it outside on the front porch. But for some odd reason, it started going off in the middle of the night, and it took us like 20 minutes to figure it out.
Oh my gosh.
It was awful. The neighbors woke up. Oh my gosh. But it caused me to have
Jesse.
Yes. Right. Perfect.
That was my first
thought.
Yes.
Okay. So as we're trying to go back to sleep, and you know, we're just up at that point in the middle of the night. And I, of course, am just so excited about this interview, and I'm sitting there just thinking about it I was kind of going through my thoughts. And so last night, as I was preparing and I had this wave of emotion come over me, I realized that this was not a wave of sadness. This was actually the emotion that I was feeling so deeply was an extension of joy, because when I see what you are doing and what Jesse has left as a legacy, and the joy and the just what he put into the world, and just the notes and the messages he sent to us as a society, to your community, to our families, like, it is just heavy in the most beautiful way. It's like the kind of joy that that I feel like brings me to my knees, and it just feels like I'm in the presence of an angel. And so it's funny that you say that about the smoke alarm, because I think that totally could have been Jesse, and that he is for sure with us in spirit today as we discuss this. And I can feel his spirit when you speak so eloquently about the work that you're doing with the Jesse Love, Choose Love movement. And I just want you to know that we appreciate and admire your courage and your tenacity and just what you are choosing to do with this tragedy. And just thank you so much, Scarlett, from the bottom of our hearts for being here today.
Thank you. It's a huge privilege, and I feel grateful every day.
I love it. Okay, Scarlett, so take us back. You know, like I said, I want this conversation today, as listeners are tuning in, families from all over the world will be listening to this, and I really want the tone of our conversation today to honor Jesse's life. And Jesse, you know, you're going to tell the story, I'm sure, here in a second of the note he left and the note he left his brother. But he really just seemed like he was this little boy that not only was a hero, but he just lived with joy and purpose. And that's the tone I want to have to our conversation today, is just to honor his life and his legacy. And with that said, tell us, take us back to that awful day and the note that you had when you came home, the note you found to his brother, and tell us, you know, how that led you to start this movement.
Absolutely. So I was a single mom, a full-time job, long commute, that whole thing. And so, interestingly enough, of course, something like that can never happen to you. It happens to, you know, people on the cover of People magazine, but not in a little sleepy neighborhood like Sandy Hook with stone walls. I mean, you hear my chickens.
Yes, I just heard him.
That's my rooster Goldie behind me, and so you know, was just definitely in shock. And the first time I came home about 3 days later, because my mom also lives in town, and I just went to my mom's afterwards and kind of hid out there. Yeah. And but we did come back to the farm actually to get Jesse's clothes for the funeral, to dress him, actually. And so it was on my way out, and I had his clothes in my arms, that I found this message that he had written on our kitchen chalkboard shortly before he died. Three words: nurturing, healing, love, phonetically spelled, you know, and in little, six-year-old, oh, first grade kind of writing, right? Wow. And as tall as he was, because, you know, he was a first grader. But I couldn't believe it. I it stopped me in my tracks. I knew instantly that if the former student, the shooter who had been a former student whose mother had taught at the school, if he had been able to give and receive nurturing, healing love, the tragedy would never have happened. Wow. It was as simple as that. And I knew right then and there that that was a message that Jesse had left. There was a spiritual awareness that he wasn't going to be around for very much longer. He wanted to leave a message of hope for his family and friends and comfort. But even more than that, this was where we needed to go in order to survive and then thrive. And I knew that I would be spending the rest of my life spreading this message. I mean, my life obviously changed that day, December 14th, 2012. But really, I changed everything about my life when I saw that message as well. I changed my entire focus. I quit my job. Mm-hmm. And I started this organization less than a month after that. I knew exactly what I was going to do. And I knew that it was the solution because it addresses the cause of so much of the suffering that we're seeing in schools that then translates out into society. And I'm not just talking about violence and bullying.
Yeah.
And the bullying that ultimately leads to that violence. But I'm talking about the isolation and loneliness that so many feel. I'm talking about the substance abuse issues. I'm talking about the mental health issues. I'm talking about trauma. I'm talking about so much of the suffering out there can be reduced and prevented by what we're doing.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
How beautiful.
Yeah. I remember, and I was thinking about this too. It's awful that I don't remember which one, but there was, you know, one of the last school shootings, you know, everyone just wants to help, right? And you're just like, what do you do to help? What you know, what angle do you do to come in and really take action and help be part of the solution or to, just to help people, right? And I've always felt this calling, being a positive parenting educator and having such a heart for families, is I hop right on, and I remember I did a live on social where I just taught about how we can teach social emotional literacy skills to our children. And so when I saw that you this is the way that you had chosen to move forward, it was so comforting to know that, you know, there's other warriors out there for peace and warriors that are saying this is the solution. This isn't a hokey, like, we're teaching emotional, like, feelings, like, feel your feelings. It's like, no, we are teaching human beings, hopefully from a very young age, how to have, you know, as you say, healthy relationships, how to have, you know, tell us about that, the compassion for one another and the ability to work through problems, right, with integrity and the ability, all those things you talk about. I can't wait for you to tell us more about it. And but tell us about that.
Well, and I'll just say the reason that you can't remember which school shooting is because it's our new normal.
Yeah.
Because we have one school-related shooting per week. 2018 was actually the deadliest year on record for school shootings. And not many people know that. They don't even really show up in the news anymore. Wow. Because it is our new normal. And I did want to just throw that out there because that doesn't have to be our reality.
Yeah,
it literally doesn't. Every school shooting is preventable. Kids don't wake up in the morning and say that they're going to harm themselves and as many people as possible. That is a lifelong journey of pain, disconnection, isolation, suffering, oftentimes bullying that leads to that. And that means that they're many opportunities along the way to disrupt that pathway to violence.
Yeah.
And you know, what we're talking about today is also called essential life skills.
Yes.
And they are so vitally important. I mean, I've dedicated my life to this because not only do I know that this would have saved my son's life. It would have saved the shooter's life, and it could reduce and prevent so much of the suffering. Listen to what I'm saying. Reduce and even prevent the suffering. Yes. So how we're wired with our brains to think is really in a reactive manner, right? And we have this negative bias that's woven into our DNA.
Yeah.
And so we focus on the negative. And we know that because the majority of our thoughts every day are negative and repetitive. We have tens of thousands of thoughts. Some experts say between 50 and 70,000. And we know between 70 and 80% of those thoughts are negative. And that's just everyone listening. Yep. It's just on average.
True.
We know over 95% of those thoughts are repetitive. And it's through no fault of our own. We're wired to think like that. That is our survival mode. And our brains are actually created to keep us alive, not to keep us happy.
Yeah.
And so that means that all of these, what we call essential life skills, how to have healthy relationships, how to manage our emotions, how to not just be resilient, but to grow through difficulty. Everyone faces challenges, roadblocks, even pain and suffering in their life. And that's how we're shaped and molded as human beings. But we need to learn how to grow through that, how to make responsible decisions. All of these things and more are absolutely necessary. And it's not just, it's like, don't take our word for it. Yeah. There are actually decades of research. I love the research behind this because all of the latest scientific research, all of the latest neuroscience point to the most important thing that we do on a daily basis is thoughtfully respond with love. And,
yes.
and that is, it's all about social and emotional character development. So vitally important. And by the way, we're not born with these skills and tools.
Right.
We have to learn them. We're born wired to survive, but we're not born with the ability to have meaningful connections, meaningful relationships, healthy relationships, managing our emotions, all these things we have to learn. And by the way, if we didn't learn them at home, and by the way, you can't give what you don't have as a parent.
Yeah.
If your parents didn't learn them, they can't teach them. And or in school, you get to be an adult and you don't necessarily have them. And I always use myself as an example of that, because when I started researching what a solution to the Sandy Hook tragedy would be, and I came upon social and emotional learning. And by the way, I'd never heard of it before.
Right.
and I started looking at this and I thought, my gosh, I don't even have these skills and tools. And, you know, I was a college graduate. I worked on Wall Street. I was a journalist. I had published a children's book, but that didn't make me socially and emotionally intelligent.
Let's chat for a hot sec, openly and honestly, about what your discipline toolkit looks like in your home right now. If you're anything like most parents, you're relying on the hand-me-down set you inherited. Timeouts, spankings, threatening of spankings, taking iPads away, 3-2-1 countdowns, groundings, taking away toys, e-bikes, iPhones, any or all of those kind of tactics that create a total relationship strain and don't even work long-term to end your child's misbehavior for good. Meaning, you might spank your child or send them to timeout today for being, air quotes, mean to their sister or disrespecting you. But then 3 days from now, they're repeating the same misbehavior, which causes you to flip your lid because you know they know better. I want to help you learn a new way so you could end the vicious cycle that's keeping you stuck as a parent and causing you to feel super frustrated that nothing is working to get your strong-willed, stubborn child to behave better. My team and I have recently completely refreshed our Compassionate Discipline Quick Start Learning Bundle to help you learn a new way to teach your kids important life lessons, a new way to help your children learn from their mistakes and take responsibility for their actions. You can just DM me the word shift over on Instagram. I'm at Fresh Start Wendy, and I'll personally send you a message with a link to download this free bundle. I'm going to help you shift out of a punishment mindset and into a compassionate discipline one where you fully trust that connection-based, firm and kind discipline tools are all you need to be a strong leader in your home who holds your kids responsible when they misbehave, but does it in a way where they are learning the vital life skills they are missing when they mess up. So again, just DM me the word shift over on Instagram. I'm at Fresh Start Wendy, or you can head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/discipline. To grab your free bundle now. I am so excited for you to shift out of feeling guilty and shameful when you lay your head on your pillow at night and shift into feeling confident and proud of the way you handled yourself as a parent, even when you were wildly triggered and upset about the mistake your child made. Okay, I'm excited for you to dive into this free resource. I'll see you in my DMs and inside the free discipline bundle.
So I couldn't give my two boys what I didn't have. So at 44 years old, I started learning these skills and tools. And I can tell you today, 7 years later, that I practice them every single day, all day long. And they've made my life so much better, every aspect of it, despite my personal tragedy. That what we're talking about today is, you know, normally when you talk about social and emotional learning, you think about little kids, right? And even in education, traditionally, administrators have thought about little kids. But actually, this is for everyone. Everyone can benefit. Everyone. All age groups. That's why we have a lifespan program. We call it Next Generation Lifespan Program, because it's for all ages and it benefits all ages.
Yes. Wow. We need a microphone drop, like, yes, sound effect here. I need to get on that. I feel like I need the sign to hold up that just, like, is like, yes, everything you said. Yeah. I'm like, yes.
Well, this is so, yeah, so much like our purpose, like, wrapped up into a statement. And I love that you, you've got the science that you blended in there to back it up, but also just pointing out that we're all in this together. Cause I think there's this, when we talk to people, it seems like people that actually get it usually have either reached a breaking point. You obviously reached one, or
I've reached that too before.
Or parents, mm-hmm, have really just thrown their hands up and they want to try something different. Mm-hmm. But it's always so, I don't know, once you kind of learn and like, even just listening to what you've said makes so much sense to us. And I imagine a lot of listeners are nodding their heads right now too, but, mm-hmm, it's so countercultural.
Yeah.
It's like really, like, you know, sometimes, you know, talking to people about investing in relationships, investing in their families, investing in, you know, ways to, just to relate to one another, you just
get
a blank stare back. And I think it's, you know, it's that wave of those negative thoughts working against every single person. And, some people just say, that's not for me, but I love how you're saying, no, it's for everybody.
It's for everybody. It's essential.
For everybody.
It's essential.
Young, and old, everybody. Yeah,
absolutely. And I think that COVID-19, you know, during this time, it has literally kicked us all off the hedonic treadmill, right? Of more, more, more work, work, work. We're all at home with our families. And I really do think now is the time for this understanding. There had to be a big shakeup. And, you know, it's interesting because it is a different way of thinking. And when you do something new, when you make change, that actually takes a lot of courage. And I didn't realize, I mean, this just made so much sense to me. And, you know, Jesse And our shooter were kind of priced out of the market of this social and emotional learning, which is, you know, essential life skills. Think about it. If our shooter had been able to give and receive nurturing, healing love, if he'd been able to have healthy relationships, if he'd been able to manage his emotions, if he'd been resilient and could grow through the difficulty and bullying that he faced, if he could make responsible decisions, he wouldn't have picked up a gun that morning, shot his mother, and then killed 20 first graders and six educators.
For sure.
Right?
Yes,
I mean, it's just so obvious, right? Yeah. It's so obvious. However, look at the way that we've been doing things forever, right? And this is the way that we're wired to do things. So we only have so many resources. So we wait till there's an issue. Oh, wait a minute. There's bullying, this issue. Okay, let's focus on bullying. Bullying's an issue. Let's create programs that focus on bullying. Let's call them anti-bullying programs. That's a double negative, right?
Yeah, it sure is.
Right?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. That's not enough because they're not working. So we're going to have to create legislation that aligns with this focus on this issue, right? And hey, let's state mandate and make sure, because it's just not working, right? Let's state mandate and make sure that every child has to go through an anti-bullying program.
Right.
But the problem with this is it's our negative bias thinking, right? We focus on the negative, even in the title of the program.
Yes.
What's the difference between anti-bullying and choose love? Huge. So we focus on the negative. And what happens when you focus on something? It grows.
Yes.
Now, wait a minute, not just anti-bullying. Let's talk about the substance abuse awareness programs that are also state mandated. Throughout schools, every child has to go through them. I'll tell you honestly, I have an older son, JT. I remember when he was going through his substance abuse awareness program. I believe it was at the middle school in Sandy Hook. And I used to have dinner parties.
Yeah.
And so JT would sit there with all of my adult friends. And I remember looking over at one point and he was like mimicking shooting up something, right? Just as a joke, like he was so bored that he was going to pass out, right? And so I literally look at him and I'm like, what are you doing? Right? What are you doing? And he's like, oh, Mom, I just had substance abuse awareness class today. I know the name of every single drug. I know where to buy it, how to do it, what the nicknames are, etc. And I'm like, I remember thinking, wait a minute. Something's wrong with this picture.
We're focusing on the wrong thing. Obviously,
you know, that wasn't my focus then. But now if you look at the substance abuse awareness programs that are out there like DARE, they have done a lot of research on them. And we spend tens of millions of dollars every year on these programs, more probably into the billions. And actually, by the way, they're statistically ineffective. That's research-wise, but then you could just look at our death rate from overdoses and the amount of substance abuse that we're experiencing, and then that tells you that too.
Yeah.
So those are statistically ineffective. So much of what we continue to do, it's like, wait a minute, we're doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. Is that the definition of crazy? But here's the deal. This is what I've learned, actually. It's the easiest thing to do. And it is, at this point, state mandated. And there is, like, state and federal funding for it. By the way, we're paying for this, remember?
Right.
And what I've realized, so what I did was, because, you know, my son was priced out of the market, we had spent a lot of money on a certain program and then we couldn't afford to train the teachers. So I was told the program that we purchased never got out of the box. And so literally I turned around and I worked with education professionals and psychiatrists, psychologists, all these different people to create a program that would get out of the box, that was usable, that did not require training, that where the educator could learn right alongside the student. And that's the Choose Love movement. So I thought, okay, I'm just going to create the best of the best programs and I'm going to go out and I'm just going to talk about how important social emotional learning is and I'm just going to give it away. And then everybody's going to have it.
Yes.
And so, but what I realized was that in my visits with administrators and and speaking engagements, I realized then that, wow, you know what? It actually takes courage to do something different, to think a different way, even to think proactively and preventatively rather than reactively takes courage. And so, you know, if I look at our map, it's pretty amazing. You can go on our website and look at the schools that have downloaded the Choose Love movement. Pretty amazing. Every state.
I saw that. It's amazing, Scarlett. It's amazing.
But I think what's happening is that we are realizing that what we're doing isn't working. And then the issue, I started promoting early on social and emotional learning as being the number one way to have a safe school. And, you know, of course, in the beginning, I'm getting sideways glances, like, what is that woman talking about? What about active shooter protocol? What about arming, not arming school resource officers? What about single point entries and door locks and all of this? And of course, I always say those things, unfortunately, are necessary. And I'm not taking away from the importance of those external safety measures. But none of that addresses the cause of why a child would want to harm themselves or someone else. The only thing that we can provide in schools is social and emotional learning. And that actually cultivates safety from the inside out. Kids that can have healthy relationships, can manage their emotions, can grow through difficulty, can make responsible decisions, are not going to want to harm themselves or someone else. And so you need both, really, for safe schools. And so that started making sense to people. And literally, if you look at the pathway to violence, I don't know if you've ever seen one as put out by the Department of Homeland Security, but it literally looks like a staircase going from left to right and going up. And so, you know, it's the stair steps of violence, starting from a grievance all the way into an attack. And then if you look how we've dealt with it, well, how would we deal with it? How are we wired to deal with things? Well, we're going to react, right? Oh, wait, there's an issue. It's the attack. So let's work from there, right? Yeah. Let's harden schools. So we see over the last couple of years, we've really kind of locked down and hardened schools. But now we're realizing that really the most important part of school safety, and I'm not taking away from the external safety measures, right?
Right. Not at all. Exactly.
But by the way, Sandy Hook Elementary School had all of those external safety measures. Okay.
Right.
Just so everyone knows. And they had just done an active shooter drill 2 weeks before.
No way.
That wasn't followed. So I'm just saying, so really what we need is the external and the internal safety measures. And if you look at how you can address school safety, you can harden schools, but the proactive preventative approach is actually focused around school culture. And when you have a loving, compassionate, connected school culture, that can actually reduce and even prevent a grievance before it happens. And it definitely gives kids and educators skills and tools to deal with that and manage that grievance if it does happen.
Yes, Scarlett, I want to shout your mission from the top of every mountain across the entire world, because
I try to do that every day.
You do.
Love.
And gosh, I just want you to know how much we appreciate your hard work, because it's everything you're saying is so factual. Even so, I heard you say once that even the CIA says that this is an effective school initiative. And I love this idea of, you know, this proactivity. It's like right now amidst this coronavirus mess, I think it's easy to give, you know, parents, we have all parents that listen to the show, this analogy of, it's so much easier right now to like stay home and not be in group gatherings and wash your hands 50 times a day and teach your children how, you know, pandemics like this work and just kind of do the hard work it takes to keep the virus out of your family, right? Rather than actually catching the virus and getting sick and ending up having to go to the hospital and getting yourself on a respirator and hoping that you survive or not being able to see your family for so long. Like, that is so hard to manage once it's actually to that point. That it's easier, and that's why our nation has taken this initiative, right? So it's actually, as I watch it go down right now, and obviously we're filming this at the time of the coronavirus, but I actually, you know, it's hard on our nation, but I love the proactivity that's happening. And if we can translate that into every single area of our life, especially our parenting, especially our family lives, in our school systems, as the way we're raising human beings, it is so important. And I just, I'm so grateful for your work. The life coaching organization that we're very involved with, it's called Your Infant Life. The founder, her name's Pamela Dunn. She actually, when she, there was, again, I don't remember exactly which one. Maybe you do, Terry, because we just interviewed the executive director. But it might have been Columbine. Well, was it that long ago?
Yeah, I think it might have been.
So. But her reaction or her response to that heartbreak that she had was to create a program called the Peaceful Project. And they do kind of, you know, very similar to what you do with the Jesse Love Choose Love Movement, where they go into school systems and organizations, and they teach emotional literacy. They teach social emotional literacy and being able to, you know, feel your feelings all the way through, to be able to feel hurt without hurting others. And it's just, I'm just so grateful for organizations like yours. And I just want you to know, here at Fresh Start Family, we are dedicated to supporting you through all that you're doing. So
thank you.
Yeah. I'm very visual. So what you just described about the staircase.
Yeah,
it seems like everybody just hovers around the top of that staircase.
Yes.
And you're never going to get to the root of it by just snuffing out all the fires that happen at the top and all the emotions that happen at the top. It's just, it's too late. And
you have to address the cause. You have to address the cause. If you're not, you can't be talking about a solution. You can't.
Yes. You can be talking about a Band-Aid, right? Or like something that may give you a temporary relief. It's the same thing we teach in parenting, in our parenting programs at Fresh Start Family. Like, you have to get to the root.
Well, here's the thing, too. I think people are always like, oh, that sounds like a lot of work. And when you're talking about preventing a school shooting, it's like the stakes are high, okay? But then I think people still are like, well, that won't happen here. We're like, well, so what's the worst thing that's going to happen? You're going to have stronger relationships in your home and in your community if you just did this anyways. So if you're still like, oh, it's never going to happen to me. It seems like a lot of work, all this stuff. Well, what's the byproduct that you're going to get if you're still kind of in that position?
If you just do it anyways.
If you just do it anyways. I mean, that's where, like, you know, here at Fresh Start Family, we're like, you have a choice every day to, like the saying of family first, but how many people actually do put their family first when it comes to learning something new, putting their energy into having strong bonds and relationships versus just being like, nope, this is the way it's done. This is the way it was done to me. This is the way it's going to be done to you. There's a problem. I'll put out the problem when the problem happens. It's just, we got to undo that.
And you know what? The thing is, it's not hard. It's not difficult. Does it take some effort? Yes, it does. Is the reward worth it? In multiples. I mean, I'll just direct you to our Choose Love for the Home. These are free, short, powerful videos that you can watch with your kids. It's directed towards elementary school age kids. But you literally sit down and you learn a lesson within 2 or 3 minutes, and it's fun. It's actually funny because I have a great sense of humor. No, I'm just kidding. we actually focus on fun. Jesse left another message for his big brother, who was 12 years old at the time. And the same day I found the Nurturing Healing Love message, JT went into his room and found this little note that Jesse had left on his desk. And when he opened it, it said, have a lot of fun. And you can actually see the actual note if you go to the website. And I saw that and I thought, wow, that's for JT. What a beautiful message for a little brother to leave a big brother. That was what Jesse was all about. But it's also for us. Because when you think about how we're wired, you know, to be reactive, and even, you know, we're all connected as human beings by the want and need to love and be loved. In that, we're all the same. It doesn't matter how old we are, where we live, what language we speak, what religion we practice or non-religion, what gender we are, doesn't matter. We all have the want and need to love and be loved and belong and connect. And we also all feel pain and suffer as human beings. And we all just really kind of ultimately in the end want to be happy and have a lot of fun. But because of, you know, the negative bias and the pain and suffering that we all have, that just comes, by the way. We don't plan it. It's not like, oh, I'm so glad I got my pain and suffering out of the way before our podcast because, you know, then I'm done for the day. No, that just comes. But we do have to plan having a lot of fun. Like even parents listening now and you're home with your kids, you kind of realize within the pandemonium of the day, yeah, we actually have to plan to sit down and play a game and to have fun. So that's part of what we do. And that's what we infused into everything that we do. It's also fun. It's choosing love. But it's also fun. And by the way, it makes you feel so good. And that's really kind of our main goal as human beings every day. We're going to feel good. And we're going to do it in only one of two ways based on our education and our awareness. We're going to do it like, believe it or not, even anger sometimes feels kind of good, right? Because you feel powerful.
Right.
You get a dose of adrenaline, so you feel energetic. And but you know, prolonged anger is as bad as smoking, what is it, a pack of cigarettes a day for you. We're gonna do it through that. I mean, why do kids bully? Kids bully because they're not feeling good about themselves, or someone most likely is bullying them. And they just want to off put their pain onto someone else. They're trying to get rid of their pain. Why do we do drugs? We do drugs to try to reduce our anxiety, right? To try to feel good, to try to get high. If you even look at why people join gangs, it's really what they're looking for is a sense of belonging and love. So we're going to do it that way, or we're going to do it by actually what we call choosing love, which is having understanding and practicing how to have healthy relationships, how to manage our emotions, how to be resilient and even grow through issues. That's what we call choosing love. And we're going to do it in one way or the other. But let me tell you something. It's so much better for you when you do it the choosing love way, for sure.
Yes.
And everybody around you. And then that ripples out and it makes it a safer, more peaceful and loving world.
Hey families, I'm pausing this episode just to make sure you know where you can go. If you want to join me for Kate Northrup's Relaxed Money Financial Healing Workshop happening April 23rd through 25th, it's completely free. And it's a 3-day live stream event where she's going to teach you all about nervous system regulation and how to identify where in your life you might be operating from a lack mindset when it comes to your finances, and also just become more conscious of maybe some limiting beliefs that you have around money, and also really become intentional about what you want to hand down to your children when it comes to generational cycles around finances and money. So you can head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/relax. Or you can head over to Instagram. I'm at Fresh Start Wendy, and just shoot me a DM with the word relax and I will help you get registered for Kate's free workshop. But I am a proud affiliate partner of Kate's programs because she just really has radically transformed my own life. And I'm just so excited for you also to learn with Kate all that she has to teach about nervous system regulation and healing and abundance when it comes to your own finances. All right, enjoy. And I will personally be at every single day of that workshop. So when you're there, make sure you say hello to me in the comments because I'll be there also learning with Kate. All right, freshstartfamilyonline.com/relax. Enjoy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
We take a lot of detours in life. It's like, you know, like you're saying, you're drawing a direct line to what we're actually after, where it seems like people just in general just create all these detours in life trying to get there, but they're actually going the roundabout way and sometimes hurt them. Well, more times than not, they hurt themselves in the process and other people.
Yeah. And, right. Yeah. And it's so important that listeners, you understand that this is, you know, Scarlett talks about it all the time, but this is not just, this is proven, you know, it's like here at Fresh Start Family, we teach psychology rooted positive parenting curriculum. And it's rooted from Dr. Rudolf Dreikers, who was, you know, a child psychiatrist back in the 50s. He wrote that book, Children the Challenge, in 1964. But he talks so much about how, you know, there's every human being has these needs, and belonging and the need to belong and the need to be loved are two of the major needs that when we are empty or we're low on those needs, that's where misbehavior comes from. So it so aligns with your message and his psychology of it really is, it will increase misbehavior. If our children don't have belonging, if our human beings in our community don't have belonging, and if we don't have love, and if we don't give love, you know, and there's all different layers of feeling love and giving love. But what you are doing is pouring into those two areas for human beings, which is for sure proven to reduce misbehavior. And misbehavior looks like in this scenario, something really awful that we want to prevent.
And, you know, when you look at the research, kids that have social and emotional learning get better grades and test scores. I mean, that's what, well, in our previous world, that's what we were all worried about, right?
Right.
Grades and test scores, attendance, graduation rates, all of that are improved. But in addition, kids that have these skills and tools actually have less mental health issues, less behavioral issues. It is a statistically effective way to reduce and prevent bullying. And then they actually have research that it goes out over 20 years. And Beautiful. So even later in life, those now young adults have less violence and anger, less incarceration rates, dramatically less. Less substance abuse, less mental illness, and even less divorce rates.
Yes, yes.
So I usually throw in a little quip like, see, I could have used it.
Right. Well, and okay, so let's go through these four areas real quick. The courage, gratitude, forgiveness, and compassion and action. But first, I just want to, we're going to start on the courage part, because what we're talking about, you know, this being countercultural, and even in this scenario, most people go the route of like fixing the problem, right? And a lot of people have a tendency to like maybe take other angles, right? Like it's the norm to talk about the external controls, like you're talking about, whether it's guns yeah. or protocol, and right. So this takes courage to go a different route and take the preventative route. And I think why it takes courage is because you have to allow yourself to be scared of like, okay, is this, I don't know, what is the fear? Is this going to be worth my time? Is this going to work? Is this actually going to protect our children? Right. But you have to feel that. You have to feel that feeling of being scared, and then do it anyways. Move forward with what Scarlett's teaching you. And that is the courage I know you'll talk about, you know, you can talk about the courage you teach in the program. It's the same courage, right? But you have to be courageous enough to do something different. Like do something different. Don't, you know, like, it's so important. So talk to us about courage as that first point.
Yes, actually. So we start with courage because, of course, courage is the most important character value that underlies all the rest. And courage, science tells us, by the way, courage is like a muscle and it needs to be worked out. We need to be aware that we have it, and we can practice it to strengthen it. And age appropriately, I use Jesse as an example of courage. Of course, when the shooter came into his classroom, Jesse stood up to him. And when his gun ran out of bullets, he called to his classmates to run. And he was able to save 9 of his classmates' lives before losing his own. He's actually on the short list for the Presidential Medal of Freedom, which is the highest civilian honor for his courage. I Jesse, talk about that because that's the same courage that we all have. Like Jesse was a 6-year-old little boy. That was a very courageous thing that he did. But we all have that courage. We just have to be aware of it. We have to practice it. And of course, with that being said, Hopefully none of us will ever be called on to practice that kind of courage, but there are extraordinary acts of courage and then there are everyday acts of courage. And you and I practice everyday acts of courage, which probably without even realizing it, it takes courage to be kind to somebody when they're not being kind to us. Yeah. It takes courage to be our authentic selves, not the people that, other people want us to be or expect us to be. It takes courage to do the right thing, to tell the truth. It takes courage, by the way, to look our fear in the face, to actually look at it instead of resisting, avoiding, or even running from it, to look at it and to ask, what are the lessons in here for me? So that is, and by the way, you get very quickly that these are not kid-centric things. These aren't kid-centric things. These are human-centric things. We're all working on this every single day. And, you know, even me that talks about this all the time, that teaches this, I have to practice it too. It doesn't mean that I always choose love, right? I don't. I get mad. I do this and that. Of course, anger is fine. It's trying to tell us something. But when I don't choose love, now I've gotten to the point where it doesn't feel good. And I know what I need to do to correct. And by the way, I practice this entire formula every single day, all day long. And it literally is a method that can lead us to thoughtfully responding with love in any situation, circumstance, or interaction, even COVID-19. And when we thoughtfully respond with love to any situation, circumstance, or interaction, we are taking our personal power back. We're making the world a better place. When we react, which is kind of what we're wired to do, with prolonged anger. Remember, there's nothing wrong with anger. There's nothing wrong with anything that we feel. But when we react with prolonged anger, hatred, and revenge, we are literally giving our personal power away. We're actually becoming victims. That's the definition of loss of control. And that does not feel good. I ask any audience from kindergartners to CEOs, what does it feel like when you do not have control over a certain situation or circumstance? And they all say the same exact answers. Anxious, angry, frightened. But we can. So here's the thing. We can't always control what happens to us, right? None of us could control this COVID-19, but we can control. We can take our personal power back and how we thoughtfully respond to it. When we thoughtfully respond with love, we are taking our personal power back and we're making the world a better place. So we started with courage, right? We had to start with courage because you need courage to practice the rest of the character values as well. Courage is the most important character value. And we can practice courage to strengthen it. The next character value is gratitude. Oh, everybody's heard of gratitude, right? Oh, yes. We know that gratitude is very important. And we know that there's so much research behind gratitude. We know that it's not happiness that makes us grateful. It's really gratefulness that makes us happy. One of the ways we use it, we practice it a couple of different ways. One of the ways is using it as a mind shifter, especially in this time, right? So all of those tens of thousands of thoughts that we talked about before, the majority of which are negative and repetitive, they go through our mind single file. So that means we can only focus on one thought at a time. So that means we can only focus on a grateful thought or a fearful, angry, resentful thought. We can only focus on one thought at a time. So sometimes those fearful, angry thoughts are telling us something, right? And giving us valuable information. But when you're ready to shift away out of that lower energy, you can think of something that you're grateful for. And there's always something to be grateful for. Always, always, always. And so when you do that, you've literally shifted away from your negative thinking. And of course, you can rewire your brain to be more grateful and for that process to be easier by having a gratitude practice of writing three things down before you go to bed. It makes for better sleep. Getting up and writing three different things that you're grateful for first thing in the morning, it makes for just a better overall day.
Love it.
And so that's kind of, we call it the great mind shifter. That's gratitude. And the other thing actually is, and this is just a little tweak that you can do on a daily basis, the get to versus the have to, right?
Yes.
You may have heard about this, right? You go through and you say, like me, I live on a farm. I have to feed the animals this morning, right? I have to go get the eggs out of the chicken coop. Then I have to come in and I have to make breakfast for my son. Well, it's just a small shift. But I get to go out and feed my animals. I get to go out to my chicken coop and pick the eggs up. And then I get to go in and make them for breakfast for my son. Like, it's interesting because people still come up to me in Sandy Hook and they say, oh, hey, Scarlett, how you doing? Good. How are you? Oh, my God. I've got to take what a day. Multiple kids to multiple sporting events.
Oh,
and then I've got to go
goodness.
Home and I have a huge pile of laundry for multiple kids that I have to do. And of course, have to, how it translates for me is, wow, you get to take
right.
multiple kids to multiple sporting events. You get to do a huge heaping mound of laundry for multiple kids. Wow, how blessed you must feel, right?
Yes.
That's a huge get to for me. So anyway, those are two ways to practice, but there are many ways. And then when we are practicing gratitude, that literally strengthens us to consider forgiveness. And it's so funny because people used, you know, like when they heard that I wanted to put forgiveness in the program, like early on, everyone said, oh my God, forgiveness? That is too lofty a subject for kids. And what we found is that it is not a lofty subject for kids. It's actually, and this blows my mind every time, it's actually a lot of times the favorite subject for kids. Kids think it's a superpower. They think it feels so good to let it go. But it is a lofty topic, what we found, for adults.
I love it.
We don't understand it really. We're not really sure what it means. We don't talk about it. We don't practice it on a regular basis, but actually forgiveness is one of the most valuable assets in my healing process. And, you know, my choice very early on to forgive the shooter has gotten a lot of attention. But, you know, people say, oh my God, how could you do that? How could you forgive the, you know, guy that shot your son and created so much damage. And I say, you know, at this point, how could I not?
Right. Oh,
because
I love that.
If I didn't, I would be giving my personal power away to the young man who was so troubled that he thought that was the only way out. I would be giving him power over my thoughts that impact my feelings, that then impact my behavior. And why would I want to give any of my power away to the troubled young man that murdered my son? I wouldn't. So forgiveness is cutting the cord that literally would attach me to pain. And I take all of my personal power back through forgiveness. It is so vitally powerful. A lot of people think, oh, well, he doesn't deserve that gift. I'm not going to give him that gift. He doesn't deserve it. But what they don't realize is that it's a gift that you give yourself.
Oh my God.
And I love the, I love this spider monkey analogy. So spider monkeys are this little elusive creature in Africa, and they, you can barely see one because they're so elusive, right? And so hunters like to catch them, and they've devised an easy way to do it. They drill a little hole in, say, the trunk of a tree, just big enough for a couple of peanuts, the spider monkey's favorite food, and then they leave for the night. And the spider monkey smells those peanuts because they have a very keen sense of smell, and they go up to the tree and they look in, they reach their little tiny hands in, they grab the peanuts. But what they don't realize is that that hole is not big enough for them to pull their fist out with the peanuts in it. It was only big enough for the peanuts, but not a clenched fist with the peanuts. So they're holding onto those peanuts all night long. And then in the morning, the hunter casually strolls up to the spider monkey. The spider monkey sees the hunter and he's trying to get his hand out, but he won't let go of those peanuts. And the hunter walks right up to the spider monkey, slips a noose around their neck and captures them. And all that spider monkey had to do was let the peanuts go, and he could have run away. So my question to your listeners is, what are you holding on to, right? What are you holding on to that's trapping you, that's keeping you prisoner? What is something that you could just let go? What's the gift that you could give yourself? And then once, and by the way, it's forgiveness of yourself or someone else. Mm-hmm. And then that strengthens us to practice compassion in action. So compassion has two components. There's this identifying of a need or empathetic component, and then there's the action component. And when you think about empathy, empathy is necessary for healthy relationships. However, empathy is a painful process, right? It lights up the same receptors in your brain as physical pain when you feel someone else's pain. Compassion, however, and by the way, there is empathy burnout, empathy fatigue, sometimes erroneously called compassion burnout or fatigue. No such thing, because compassion has this action component, is where you actively do something to help ease another's pain. And when you look at the scientific research behind compassion in action, it says all of the, I say, nurturing, healing love that you give out, you get back. So when you have the courage to be grateful, even when things aren't going your way, that's when it takes courage. When you have the courage to forgive, even if the person who hurt you isn't sorry, and you have the courage to step outside your own life, your own busyness, distraction, even pain and suffering to help someone else, you've chosen love. And when you choose love, you make yourself better, stronger, and also that ripples out into the world.
That's it. Wow.
Oh my gosh. Literally, Scarlett, this is so amazing. I feel like this is, oh my gosh. I'm like speechless. I am so moved by your wisdom.
And so you see that it's simple, right? It's, you're like, what? I mean, I've heard of those things before. That's so simple. Could it be that simple? I mean, when I saw the nurturing, healing love message on the kitchen chalkboard, I'm like, wow. If the shooter had been able to give and receive nurturing, healing love, the tragedy would never have happened.
Yes,
could it be that simple? Yeah, it could. The formula for choosing love. Is it that simple? Absolutely. It's that simple. Now, by the way, though, simple isn't necessarily easy. Does it take effort? Absolutely. It takes attention. It takes effort, and it takes practice. Practice, practice, practice. But let me tell you something. While you're practicing, you are improving your life, you're improving your children's lives, you're improving your relationships, your emotional management, you're strengthening yourself in every aspect. You're improving, getting better, and you are also proactively reducing and preventing suffering.
Oh gosh, it's so good. Scarlett, one of the biggest, I think, key takeaways of your extensive wisdom and just all of this beautiful work that you have worked so hard to create is the action part. So tell us right now, as we wrap this up, I wish we could talk to you for hours and hours and hours, because I don't want to hang up this call. But tell us about how the listeners can take action, because one of the most inspirational things I've heard you say amongst a thousand gazillion billion inspirational things is there is no they with a capital T. We are the ones that are going to create change for the future, right? Like this human initiative that you are so beautifully leading, this movement is something that we all can take part in leading. So talk to us about, tell the listeners as we wrap this up, where they can find you, the website. We're going to put all of that on the show notes page, but how they can take action to become involved with the Jesse Lewis Choose Love movement. Tell us about what you're doing right now with the coronavirus. Just tell listeners how they can take action to get involved with your incredible organization and movement.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Yes. I mean, we are the solution. There is no they with a capital T. And actually, these issues aren't political issues, right? They're issues of the heart. And so it is going to be us, and everyone can get involved. In fact, that's why we're called a movement. This is the traditional meaning of a movement, right? We have volunteers all over the country, and these are people that want to be part of the solution. And there's so many different ways that you can be involved. Definitely go on and sign up for our Daily Dose of Love, which is a daily email showing how people are literally choosing love. Students, educators, parents, and communities all across the country and world. We get so much positive feedback that we have enough information to fill multiple emails, but at least one email a day so that you can see what you're supporting. And then go on and help us spread the message. Everything that we do as far as schools, homes, and communities is no cost. This is so important that no one can be priced out of the market. This is so vital for survival and for being able to thrive. We know how important this is for kids to learn, but also adults. So go on and help us talk about it. Spread it on social media. When your kids go back to school, bring this. Make sure that your school has a social and emotional learning program, by the way, if for nothing else, school safety. So bring it. And if they don't, say, hey, this is free. And we have to have a comprehensive year-long social emotional learning program. The truth of the matter is less than 10% of schools actually teach social and emotional learning the way it's supposed to be taught to make a difference, to positively impact the culture of the school. Most of the schools, 90%, check off the box of SEL because they have a week-long kindness program. Right. They have a speaker come in. They have after-school programs. But that does not impact the culture of the school. You have to have a year-long social emotional learning program. And a lot of them out there are very expensive. We're free. Make sure your schools know about it. Even online right now, your kids should be getting social and emotional learning. It is just as important as reading, writing, and math. And by the way, when your kids have social emotional intelligence, those academics come and they get better grades and test scores, especially now in the time of the coronavirus. We need to be giving kids these essential life skills. So make sure that your teachers are teaching some amount of social and emotional learning. Go on, download our Choose Love at Home program and sit and watch the videos with your kids. Download the resources, hang our calendars up on the refrigerator, practice these things, print off our dinner discussions and talk about it, because this is something that you can do together and it will strengthen your bond as a family. We've got infant toddler programming. So the infant toddlers that were at daycares, they're now at home. So parents, read about the importance of attachment and how your baby's brain is forming and what you can do to help facilitate that process. We've got pre-K through 12th grade. It's a comprehensive scaffolded program I don't know any other program that has everything that we do. None of the other programs is Lifespan. We also have a community program. So reach out to your community members and make sure that they know about it. Your Chamber of Commerce's, your PTAs, your pediatricians, make sure that they know about it. And then those that are in business, we have a brand new business program. Wow. And we developed this out of popular demand. We had businesses saying, hey, we need you to come in and train our employees. So we're actually, this is the only part of our programming actually that's for sale, but 100% of the revenue goes into the 501c3 and turns back around to support the free school, home, and community programming. Because these are basic human rights, and we need to make sure that everybody has them. And plus the fact we are all working together to help create the world that we want to live in. And I don't know about you, but I would like to live in a world where everyone thoughtfully responds with love.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So listen, we're going to be directing listeners, because I know you're going to want to dive in, to chooselovemovement.org and to find you on Instagram at chooselovemovement. And over on Facebook, JL Choose Love. And on Twitter, Scarlett M. Lewis. Wow. So much for so many people, so much hope, and so many ways to... You have to say yes. I mean, it's like you took away all the reasons to say no.
Come on, people, let's do this. There's no reason to say no.
Let's do this.
For some people, the easiest thing might be just to go onto the website and make a donation. Your donations help get this message out. And it is necessary for our survival, actually, now, and for our ability to thrive.
Yes, yes, Scarlett. One last thing. I know you're doing some really supportive things around, you know, people who are just looking for hope and inspiration in the coronavirus situation right now. So tell us just one more time. We're going to try to get this published really fast, but that's every Thursday over on your Instagram. Is that right?
Yes.
Where you're doing 12:30 Eastern. It's just like an hour of inspiration, I think.
Yes. So it's 12:30 Eastern, Instagram Live. I'm going through the formula to be able to choose love in the time of the coronavirus.
Nice.
And I did hear from Jerry Elena, who runs the business division. And we also have a business online webinar April 8th at noon Eastern. And so, you know, invite everyone to join us for that as well. And then also go onto the website. We have actually a coronavirus tab.
Okay.
Lots of free resources for everyone. So please visit the website, go on there, check out our map, check out everything that we have to offer. There's so much and there's something for everyone.
Thank you, Scarlett, for being here. Oh my gosh, such a wonderful episode. We're so appreciative for everything that you're doing.
Thank you so much, Wendy and Terry. Thanks for everything that you do as well. You're putting out a great message.
Oh, thanks. So appreciate that. Thank you.
For more information, go to freshstartfamilyonline.com. Thanks for listening, families. Have a great day.
All right, listeners, that's a wrap. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I enjoyed recording it for you. As we wrap up here, don't forget to DM me the word shift or head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/discipline to grab your free discipline quick start learning bundle. You'll get immediate access to download our extensive learning guide where I'll share 5 ways you can ditch the old school hand-me-down punishment mindset beliefs and thoughts that are causing you to react like a volcano instead of respond like the firm, kind, respectful teacher you are at your core. And then you'll also get immediate access to my on-demand workshop where I'll teach you our 3 core Fresh Start Family strategies that make up a strong, compassionate discipline toolkit, as well as my favorite logical consequences that not only work with kids of all ages, but do wonders to unite you with your child and strengthen your relationship, even in your kids' worst moments. So pop on over to Instagram right now and just shoot me a DM with the word shift and I'll send you a personal link to download that bundle right away. Or you can head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/discipline to get access immediately. All right. Thanks for listening and I'll see you inside that free bundle and also inside the next episode.